exists to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Of other people. This 5-part series, actually, and today we're in the third message of this series. Last week we talked about the importance of following Jesus, and this series is also in addition to us, as I mentioned earlier, growing in our faith and taking the next step in what God is calling us to do. It's also what it's kind of an introspective look at how we grow people in our church. That as a church, we really exist for four purposes, which is to help people follow Jesus. Today, we're going to talk about to connect with community, to discover their purpose, and then to serve others. Like, that's what we're called to do. And so we shape our entire church around these four things. We believe that less is more, that sometimes you can do a whole lot and end up getting nothing accomplished. And so in our church, we say that we're going to focus on four unique things in our church because those are the key things that we see in Scripture, and those are the key things, most importantly, that as well that God has called us to do. All this month, that's what we're talking about. And if you missed any part of this series, I would encourage you guys to go online, check it out. We've actually put it up there. It's free, so that way you guys can download it and share it. And if you're not following us on social media, follow us up there, The Bridge Church VA on Facebook and on Instagram, and then on Twitter, it's The Bridge VA. So today I want to look at a passage, and for some of us who are who have like some church experience, this passage of Scripture may seem somewhat familiar to you, but it actually comes out of Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And for some of us, we may not have any type of background with this passage, and that's not a problem at all. We like to always be able to introduce new things to people and just kind of share what God has for us. And so Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 is where we're going to be kind of landing today. And if you're taking notes, I'm simply calling this message Connect. Connect. That's it. It's really simple. Connect, and then also in parentheses, who are you connected to? So today, ultimately, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about the people that you have right now in your life. We're going to talk about the importance of the community of people that you have in your life, because it is a very big deal. Like, it is very important. The people that you surround yourself with ultimately help to shape who you will become and where your life is headed. I always say it like this, that show me your friends and I'll show you your life. So show me the people that you are closest to. Show me the people that know you the best, that you go to about everything. And depending on who they are and how healthy they are for you, I'll be able to show you how healthy your life will ultimately be. So in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, just want to read these few verses, and we'll kind of talk about what God is speaking to us through these verses. But in Mark 2, verses 1 through 5, it says this: a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. Verse 2, so many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Verse 3 says, some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them, and since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat that the paralyzed man was lying on. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, everybody say their faith. Come on, say it louder. Everybody say their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Talking about connecting and the importance of community. Who are you connected to? Recently, like this past week, the cool thing about kind of preparing messages in advance and kind of having a plan, I like to at least have a plan and not like kind of come up with sermons the day before Sunday. That doesn't really work out too well. But I typically try to plan out like our sermon calendar a few months in advance to kind of give myself ample time to prepare. And the cool thing about it is oftentimes I'll come across resources where I'm like, hey, this will be good for that message you know, 2 weeks from now or 3 months from now. And so this past week, as I was just kind of prepping for this message, I ran across this this blog that was written by this guy by the name of Eric Geiger, and he actually works with a Christian company, some of you guys may have heard it, called Lifeway. They actually have like different bookstores all around the country, and they sell a lot of different Christian resources. And he has a blog, and on his blog this week, he talked about the importance of community. And I had to kind of put this in my notes because I thought what he said here was amazing. But in this blog, he had this feature where he was talking about how this guy by the name of Rick Grannis, who's a sociologist, how he tracked thousands of UCLA students over the course of multiple years. And he discovered that those who are friends with people who cheat are much more likely to cheat themselves. That this guy, Rick, he did this massive study with these students and over the course of some time when it came to these students to kind of see the influence of community and how important a community plays in our lives and how important community plays in our development and our growth as people. And so the guy, Rick, he actually summarized that if 5 people encourage you to cheat, welcome to the club, you are a cheater. It's crazy. Then he says he even discovered that if a student lives in close proximity in a residence hall to students who cheat, the pressure to cheat and the likelihood to cheat rises significantly. And he concluded that a student decides to cheat in part when one chooses those whom they will allow to influence them. Isn't it crazy? Like this, a student who may not have ever had a reputation for cheating, but because he or she was surrounded around people who kind of were unethical and kind of had this tendency to cheat, he or she was more inclined to cheat themselves. It's interesting. And it kind of resonates with or connects with what Scripture says in Proverbs 13:20, where it says that the one who walks with the wise will become wise. In other words, the one who is surrounded by wise people, he or she will become wise. But the person or a companion of fools will suffer harm. So the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. In other words, if you got foolish people around you, eventually you're going to become foolish, right? Like if you got trifling people around you, eventually it's going to rub off on you. It's contagious, right? Like it's like a common cold. You're going to catch it at some point, even though that may not necessarily be you. That may not necessarily be your style, but because of the community that you and I surround ourselves with, eventually, because it's just one of me, and multiple of them, it's going to eventually begin to corrode who I am. Scripture says it like this in 1 Corinthians 15:33. We actually don't have it on the screen or in your notes, but rather it says this, that bad company corrupts good character. So in other words, the company I keep determines the character I have. That's good. I didn't even have that in my notes. That's like Holy Spirit right there. Like, the company I keep determines the character that I have. So like if I'm not surrounded around the right people, life-giving people, people of character, then now my life is going to begin to reflect that. Show me your friends and I'll show you your life. Eric Geiger, he says it like this, that community will either break us down or build us up. Your community, the people who are around you, will either break you down or they will build you up. It's not, you know, both and, it's either or. Either they're building you up or they're tearing you down. So in other words, the message is really simple for today, that you need people, not just people, but you need the right people in your life. Like you need the right people in your life. There's nothing wrong with having relationships with people who, you know, who kind of may differ than you in some areas, but there's a difference between having those people in your closest, most intimate relationship circle versus them kind of just being on the outside and you kind of knowing them and knowing of them and talking to them every now and then. The closest people in my life, are they building me up or are they tearing me down? And so that kind of brings us to this passage here. In Mark, where the gospel writer Mark, he records this spectacular occurrence in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Now, kind of just to give us some context, in chapter 1, Mark shows us much of what Jesus has done and has experienced. So like Jesus, he's done a lot of healing. He's even been baptized. He set a man free of demonic oppression. He healed a man of leprosy, which is just a skin disease. He's now preaching the good news of God, the arrival of the kingdom of God. So Jesus has become very popular. Like he's a celebrity at this point. So much to the point where crowds are just going with him. Him wherever he goes. Like he legitimately has more followers on Twitter than Beyonce at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like he legitimately has that much influence. Like people are, the sellout crowds coming to see Jesus. Like people are bumping shoulders and knocking each other down just to get a glimpse of this man called Jesus from this place called Nazareth, who's doing these amazing things. So in verses 1-2 of chapter 2, you see where the gospel writer Mark, he says that a few days later when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. And in verse 2, it says, so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Here's what I think, and this kind of is connected to our message, but then it's kind of separate at the same time, that when we make much of Jesus, like, people are going to be drawn to him. So, like, if our lives begin to reflect the one that we follow, if we're really following Jesus, then what's going to happen is people are going to be drawn, not to us, they'll be drawn to a relationship with us, but really they're being drawn to Jesus. I hope that makes sense. So, like, if in my life, if I'm not lifting up Christ in how I conduct myself and how I talk, then other people's lives around me won't be changed for the glory of God, which is why here at our church, we make a big deal about Jesus. So we preach him. We live for him. We love like him. We share him. We serve like him. And when that happens, I believe that we won't have enough room, right? Jesus called us to go make disciples. We talked about that last week. If you missed it, go check it out online. In Matthew 28, he says, go make disciples of all nations. In other words, like, go, as you're following me, go to people and tell others about who I am. And in verse 2, it says this, that so many gathered that there was no room left. And then later on, it says that he preached the word to them. What's the word? What word is Jesus preaching? Because he didn't have all 66 books of the Bible then. No, he was preaching the good news. What was the good news? It's the gospel. That's what good gospel means. Gospel literally means good news. And what is the good news? The good news is that God has sent Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to give us life. Like, God has sent Jesus to bring us into a relationship with himself through his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the good news. That Jesus now has taken the penalty of our sins, and all he's calling us to do is to trust in him for our salvation. That's what Jesus is preaching. So at our church, as I mentioned, we preach Jesus. We preach what God has done for us through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of Scripture testifies to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Like, it's all about him. Legitimately, like, if it's not about Jesus, then we have nothing. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians or in 1 Corinthians 15. Like, if Christ has not risen from the grave, we've wasted our lives. And then later on in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, he says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what we preach. We don't preach self-help messages. We don't preach, like, how to get out of debt in 10 days. That's good, but that don't help you with your sin. Like, the biggest problem you have is not debt, it's sin. Matter of fact, it is debt. It's a spiritual debt. And if Jesus doesn't pay that debt, then you and I are eternally separated from God. I hope that makes sense. So this is why Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. A pastor by the name of Stephen Lawson, he says it like this, that the entire message of the Bible is one finger pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So every book of the Bible is pointing to Jesus. Every book. Like, when you look at Old Testament figures like, characters like Moses, right? And how Moses delivered the children of Israel through Egypt from the oppression of Pharaoh. Jesus is a greater Moses. And he's delivered us from a greater Pharaoh called sin, death, and evil, Satan. He's ushered us from darkness, from slavery to sin, into freedom in him, right? All these other particular characters. You see this guy by the name of King David. He's one of the most popular kings in all of the Bible. David was a good king, but Jesus is a greater king. That's why Scripture says at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. All of Scripture points to Jesus. And so even when I'm, like, studying my Bible, and even as all of us are reading our word during the course of the week, I always had to ask myself the question, where is Jesus in this, right? Like, how is God revealing to me his son? Because Jesus is the very thing that holds everything together in Scripture. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in John 5 that all the Scriptures testify to me. You know what he's pretty much saying? It's all about me, guys. I'm not trying to boast or nothing, but it's all about me. Like, that's what he's saying. It all points back to him. All of life is to be shaped around Jesus, which is why last week we talked about how we're called as a church to, one, help people follow Jesus. Because as people follow Jesus, now they begin to live the life that God has ultimately created and called them to be. So the question is always, are you following Jesus right now? Like, one, have you made the decision to give him your life? Have you trusted in him for your salvation? I'm not talking about coming to church. Coming to church doesn't make you right with God. Being in Christ makes you right with God. And the only way I could be in Christ is by receiving his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection by grace through faith. I gotta believe. Right? But then God moves us not just to help people follow Jesus, but we're also called to help people connect with community. Like, that's the whole purpose. One of the main purposes of the church is to connect people to true community, to life-giving relationships, which is all about what happens in this story. This story in Mark chapter 2 is an amazing concept of community here. So I want to kind of take us through Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So I want to point out just a few things just to show you community here in this passage of Scripture. So let's look at verse 2. It says this, or verse 3. Let's stop there. It says, some men came. Notice men here is plural, right? So we see one aspect of community. And then it says, not only did some men came bringing to him a paralytic, this paralytic was carried by four of them. You see this kind of trend? It's not singular, it's plural. Then next it says this, since they could not get him to Jesus, they, right? Then after that, it says that they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And then in verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith. Y'all see the consistency here? Y'all see the community aspect here? That this man, what he's getting ready to experience, was not something that happened singularly, but it was something that happened in a collective community. Like, God has created us and called us to have relationship. And so through what Mark records here, we learn about how God places people around us to help us take the next steps in our faith. Here's what Proverbs 27:17 says, that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So in other words, you need people in your life. Like, you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You just can't. Like, you and I can have the macho mentality, the superwoman mentality, where it's like, I don't need anybody. How's that going for you? How's that working out? How has that worked out? Some of us have actually had that mentality before, and you're like, it didn't work out well for me. And I thank God for the people who are in my life. God has not called us to do life alone. No, God created us to be in fellowship with other people. We need to be close to people who can help us become who God has called us to be. So in this passage, we see this man who is paralyzed, guys. He couldn't do anything for himself. He was helpless, struggling. There was no way this guy could get to Jesus on his own. There was no way he could move himself. All of us have areas in our lives where we're helpless. Now, whether or not you are open and honest about it is one thing, but all of us have areas in our life where we need help. All of us got issues. I would have you tell the person beside you, you got issues, but I'm not going to do that. But they got issues, just like you got issues. I got issues. I'm no different because I'm the pastor. Probably got more issues than all of us, right? But we all got issues. The person who says they need no help is the person who remains where they are. So the person who says, man, I'm good. I'm never going to open up about my struggles. I'm never going to open up about my issues. I'm never going to open up about the things that I deal with. That's the person who stays stuck. They never take the next step. Because God never helps you and I take the next step just on our own, in our own strength. No, 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 no. He always does it within community. He sends people our way to help us to move forward. And so in the midst of this man's condition, we see this powerful example of what true community in our lives should exhibit. And I believe here in this passage, it also shows us that the type of people that we need to be connected to. So it's not just enough for you to be connected to people. You gotta be connected to the right people. You gotta have the right relationships in your life. Like, I can't just go just find somebody at 7-Eleven and be like, hey, you wanna be my friend? That may not work out. Or on the contrary, I can't necessarily like lock myself in a relationship or in a friendship with somebody where I know that their life is headed in a direction that is not life-giving, that is not any good for me. Like, it's just not gonna work. Matter of fact, I would say this, majority of the decisions that you and I have made in our lives, other people have had an influence in them. Especially some of the tough decisions. Like, should I do this, should I do that? I'm wrestling with this. You've gone to people that you trust, whether they were good for you or not. You've gone to people that you trusted to give you some advice. And God is concerned about not just having those people, but having the right people. So here's a few things I want to kind of say, that you need to be connected to people who, number one, this is most important, you need to be connected to people who want to help you get closer to Jesus. You need those type of people in your life. You need to be connected to people who want to help you get closer to Jesus. So look at verses 3-4. It says this, some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. So here we see this desire that these men have to get their friend to Jesus. Why did they have this desire? I think verses 3-4 kind of shows it. Number one, it shows us that they cared about this man. They cared about him. How do we know they cared about him? It says, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. So in other words, like, they didn't just see their paralyzed friend, this paralyzed guy, and just kind of walk by him and just kind of let him fend for himself. No, they were moved with compassion. They cared about him. They cared about him in his condition. You need people in your life who legitimately care about you. I'm not talking about like the people who just want to use you. I'm talking about people who literally care about your well-being. You need people in your life who want something for you, not from you. Those are people that care about you. People who say, I want to be your friend, not because I want something from you. No, I want to be close to you because I want something for you. I want to help you become who God has called you to be. Does this make sense? Like I want to be your friend. I want to be in relationship with you because I believe that God wants to do amazing things in your life, and I believe God has called me to be a part of your life. Or you're that friend to somebody, or somebody's that friend to you. Those are the type of people that you need to be connected to. If you don't have those type of relationships, it's going to be almost virtually impossible for you to be able to grow in your relationship with Jesus. These men got close to the paralyzed man to help him get to Jesus. In other words, they knew his condition. They knew his condition. And one thing that we oftentimes struggle with is allowing people to get close enough to us for us to experience healing. So it's like we want to have surface relationships. I call it Facebook relationships, social media relationships. Oh yeah, we're friends on social media. You know what I mean? Like you find out about everything that so-called friend is doing, not because they tell you, but because you see it on Facebook. That's not a true friendship. That's not like true relationship. Not if you're finding out everything, right? Not if like they get on Facebook and they're just kind of like, man, I just want to give up on life. And you're like, man, I didn't know that. Well, you're not close to them. Or maybe they're not close to you. And oftentimes when it comes to us, like we don't let people get close enough to us to be able to do the work on us so we can get healed. So we just stay stuck. I'll say it like this, that in order for others to help us get closer to Jesus, we have to let them get closer to us. So in order for this paralyzed man to get to Jesus, you know what he had to allow the men to do? Get close enough to him so they could carry him. Who are you letting right now in your life to be close to you? Who in your life right now are you allowing to come into your circle to help you get closer to Jesus? Like who is that for you? You need people who know your issues. You got to be open and honest, man. Like how crazy would it have been for this paralyzed man to be like, I don't need your help. I can walk. Bruh, come on, man. We're looking at you. Seriously? Which goes to show, like, people know your issues whether you like to be upfront and be real about it or not. People know you jacked up. They've been trying to tell you that for years, but you don't want to listen. I'm good. I got it all going on. And they're like, no, you're blind. You're blind. But God puts these people into my life to help me grow closer to him. If you're not in community with the right people who know your situation, they cannot help you. They will never be able to help you. You need authentic community in your life. You need real relationships. You don't need the surface relationships. You don't need the people who are here in your life when everything is great, but when things get rough, they're not there. You don't need people in your life that when you're going through a low moment, they're like, hey, you know what? Let's just go to the club and twerk it out. No, you need people, I don't know where that came from. You need people in your life who will say, you know what, man? I know you're going through a tough time. Yo, let's pray. Let's just go out and just hang out. Let's just get a meal together and just tell me about what's going on. You need those type of people. Drinking, twerking, all that stuff, that doesn't help. I'm just sorry, it doesn't help. Since I'm already talking about it, I'm just gonna go all the way. Like, it doesn't help. It pacifies the issue. No, you need people who are willing to carry your burden. That's what Galatians 6:1-3 talks about, that we should help to carry each other's burden. It doesn't necessarily mean that we do all the work. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're helping people who don't want to help themselves. That's not what Paul is talking about in Galatians 6. He says that, hey, we are called to help shoulder a load for somebody who cannot carry it on their own. This paralyzed guy could not get to Jesus on his own. But God had surrounded him with these people, these guys, to help him. I think it's important for us to be connected to people who help us get closer to Jesus, because in that, we see that they care about us, but then we also see that they're committed to us. So these men, guys, they were committed to this dude. Like, verse 4 talks about it. It says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they quit. They gave up. That's not what the text says. Text says, they said, all right, if we can't get him in the traditional way, let's go on the top of the roof. Whose idea was that, by the way? Like, who comes up with that? Like, I want to know, out of the four guys who carried, like, who came up with that? Was it like a collective thing? Was it one person? And then the other three were like, dude, you are crazy. But here's what's also interesting. Even if it was one person's idea and the other three were like, it's a crazy idea, at the end of the day, they still came together to do this great thing for their friend. Community. Community. Y'all remember that song back in the day by Queen Latifah called UNITY? UNITY. That, y'all remember that? That's part of the word community. Like, there has to be this common bond. And you know what the common bond here was for these guys? Getting this man to Jesus. They were committed to him. So in other words, they didn't let this minor little setback stop them from getting their friend to Jesus. They were so committed that they carried this guy up the stairs. Like, back in this first century context, or in this first century context of the Jewish context, houses were built in such of a way where you had the stairwell that kind of would run along the side of the house, and the roofs were oftentimes made out of clay. So they carry this guy up these stairs. We don't even know how big the house was. Get to the roof and dig a hole through this clay. In other words, they get their hands dirty to get this man to Jesus. They're willing to sacrifice. They're committed. What people do you and I have in our lives who are committed to us so much to the point that they're willing to do anything to get us to Jesus? Like, who do we have in our life that are like that? These men were so committed to this man that they went to extreme measures to get this dude to Jesus. Who in your life right now is like that? I call them the bad boys people. Like, Bad Boys came on last night on TNT. And you know, at the end of the movie, Bad Boys 2, they'd be like, bad boys, what you gonna do? And they don't know the rest of the song. Wait, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, Ride or Die. That's what these guys were to this man. Like, dude, we'll die to if that's what it takes to get you to Jesus, so be it. So be it. Who do you have in your life right now who would say that? Who can you say that about right now in your life? Right? Like, who is that right now in my life? Because if I don't have those people in my life, then my life will never experience transformation. I'm not saying that to have relationships with people who don't know Jesus. I'll talk about that in a moment. But what I'm talking about is having people in my life who are 100% committed to seeing me grow and becoming who God has called me to be. So in other words, they're not the ones who are scolding me for getting up in the morning to come to a church service. They're the ones who are like, are you going to church today? Why aren't you? Do I need to drive down there? Don't make me. You know, like, it's that type of friendship and relationship. Who do you have like that right now in your community? Are the people I'm most connected to, are they committed to helping me get closer to Christ no matter what, or are they getting me away from Christ? It's one or two. One or two. It's not like no kind of in-between gray area friendship. No. Either they're drawing me closer to Christ or they're taking me away from Christ. It's one or the other. That's how it always works in Scripture. Either I'm being built up by them or I'm being torn down. In other words, I say it like this, that your closest friends, you know who they need to be? People who know Jesus. Your closest friends. I know that may kind of sound like crazy and be a little uncomfortable, but your closest friends need to be people who know Jesus. Now, for some of us who kind of know the Bible, you're like, man, okay, well, that's kind of harsh, because didn't Scripture say that Jesus was a friend of sinners? It did. But you know who his close companions were? Peter, James, and John. They went with him everywhere he went. Other believers. Those were the people that he was most vulnerable with. Those were the people that he was most open with. So oftentimes, like growing up, I would kind of sometimes think when I would hear that, like, I guess that means I just need to cut off all my sinner friends. The ones who want to go club and go to the party and drink alcohol, like, I can't talk to you guys because I love Jesus. But I always kind of wrestle with that, because I'm like, well, if Jesus has called me to go make disciples, which means I got to have some type of relationship with them, then how can I cut them off? And I always wrestle with that until God kind of helped me understand that I'm not calling you to get rid of them. I'm calling you to reframe those relationships. I'm calling you to put them in their proper perspective. So granted, the ones that you used to kind of wild out with and do crazy stuff with, those can't be your closest ones because they're not edifying you. But you still need to have relationship with them so that you can reach them for my glory. Does that make sense? So my closest people, they aren't the ones who are doing the craziest stuff. They can't be, because now that's running counterintuitive to what God is trying to do in my life. But I still need to be connected to these people so that way I can share the gospel with them, so that way they can get to Jesus. I need to be what these four men were to this paralyzed man, to some of my friends. I got to get them to Jesus. So I can't just cut them off, right? I can't just be like, man, you on your own. Peace. I hope to see you in heaven. It can't be that. I got to reach them. I got to share Christ with them. Reframe those relationships. I kind of say put them in two categories. You have the category of people that you want to see reach for Jesus, and then you got people in your life who already know Jesus. These are the people that you do life with. These are the people that you're open and honest with. These are the people that you go and get advice from. Should I date this person? Should I not date this person? You know, is this a job that I should take? Like, you got people who have wise counsel. Scripture talks about how plans succeed with a multitude of counsel, godly counsel, not just any counsel, but godly counsel. Who's helping you get closer to Jesus? And who are you and I right now helping get closer to Jesus? Who are we a friend to right now to help point them to Christ? You got to get connected to the right people. Got to get connected to the right people, man. You got to. And for some of us, the reason why our life has kind of stalled out is not because God has like run out of grace or God has run out of potential for our life. It's because we got the wrong people in our life. They're kind of like holding us back. And God is like, hey, I want you to put them where they need to be in your life so that way you can continue to move forward in life. Like for some of us, our friends are the very thing that are kind of getting in the way of what God wants to do. And God is saying, hey, it's time. It's time to redefine those relationships. And I've given you community who want to see you at your best, who don't want something from you, but want something for you. Here's the next thing. Last thing, you need to be connected to people who not only want to help you get closer to Jesus, but you need to be connected to people who want to see you experience freedom through Jesus. They want to see you experience this. They want to see you experience this life and life more abundantly that Jesus promises. Those are the type of people that you and I need to be connected to. So here's what verse 5 says. That when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw their faith, everybody say their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven. Jesus saw their faith. In other words, like the men had faith that Jesus could heal their friend and wanted to see that happen for him. Like that's what they saw. They envisioned the future for him. They envisioned God's best for him. They knew that God had something for this man. You need people in your life who can help, like, clarify the vision of God in your life. You need people in your life who will help point you to the place that God wants you to be. You need those type of people in your life. You need people close enough to you to help you see, like, hey, you know what? This probably isn't the best thing for you. I don't know if this is God's will for you. It's good, but it's not the best. Like, you need those type of people in your life. These men, they weren't responsible for what Jesus did. So it wasn't like, you know, these men were responsible for the grace and the mercy of God flowing. No. These men weren't responsible for this man being forgiven for his sins, but God worked through their kindness to extend forgiveness and healing to this man. So best believe it, God works through your closest friends to reach you. Like, God uses you and I to reach others. You got to be connected to these type of people. You need these type of people in your life. I say it like this, that Jesus didn't need help forgiving or healing this man, but this man needed help experiencing forgiveness and healing from Jesus. And you know how that happened? Through community, because he had four men who were not selfish. He had four men who wanted to get him to Jesus. They wanted to see this man forgiven. They wanted to see this man free. Who do you have right now in your life who's saying, I want to see you free from that? I want to see you tapping into the God-given potential for your life. I want to see you beginning to take those next steps to become who God has called you to be. I want to see you become a part of a local church and start serving for the glory of God. I want to see you begin to make a difference in your community for the glory of God. Like, who do you have in your life right now who's saying those type of things? Who is saying in your life, I want to see your marriage get better. I want to see your relationship with your kids get better. I want to see your whole countenance get better. I want to see you kind of get out of depression. Who is saying that right now? You need those type of people in your life. And what's interesting here in verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Because what this man needed the most wasn't physical healing. That's not our greatest need, guys. Like, physical things, they come and go. What you and I have in terms of our greatest need is a spiritual healing. In other words, we need forgiveness. We need to be set free from sin. And so when Jesus says to this, what Jesus says to this guy first is not, son, you're healed, go walk. No, he says, you're forgiven. Because what every person has in common on this planet is a sin issue that needs to be dealt with. And by the grace and mercy of God, God has extended it to us through Jesus Christ. This guy by the name of Warren Wiersbe, he says, forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need, it costs the greatest price, and it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting results. And you know what God has called us to do because he's forgiven us? He's called us to forgive others as well. He's called us to extend grace to others just as he's extended grace to us. You know one thing that kind of bothers me all the time is how believers will say, thank you, Jesus, for my forgiveness, but you'll hold a grudge to this person for 30 years. So I'm wrestling with this because I'm like, either you don't know Jesus, because there's no way in the world you can have this forgiveness at work in your heart and not extend it to others, or you're just being stubborn and disobedient. Either way, you in sin. God has called us to be forgiveness to others and to extend forgiveness to others. Here's what verses 11 through 12 say. It says this, after Jesus had this conversation with some religious leaders and teachers of the law, they were kind of like, yo, who can forgive men of sins? Who can forgive women of sins except God? And Jesus kind of steps on the scene as like, hey, you know, for the record, I am God in flesh. I can do that. I know you guys don't believe it, but hey, it's all good. I'm going to die for your sins as well. But then in verse 11, he says to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home. Scripture says in verse 12 that this man who was brought here to Jesus by these four guys, Scripture says that he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Never. But you know how it all started? Community. It all started because this guy had a relationship with four other men who cared about him, who were committed to him, because they wanted to see him get closer to Jesus, but then they also wanted to see him experience freedom in Christ. True community wants to see you experience freedom in Christ and God's best for your life. Here's what James 5:16 says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know what that sometimes means? Or more often than not, that maybe the reason why you and I haven't experienced breakthrough in our life yet is because we're not confessing some things to other people. Because we're not aligning ourselves with other biblical community, with other believers who want to help me take the next step, right? I said it a few weeks ago, and I'll stand by it again, that if you're the only one who knows about your issue, you are in trouble right now. And it's just a matter of time before the enemy rips the rug up from under your feet and you head for a fall. You are in desperate need for community. All of us need it. Like, God created us to be in community with other people, and not just other people, but with godly people. I am not saying to go out of here and just cut off all your friends except for that one person who knows Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the people who need to be closest to you are the people who know Jesus, because these are the ones who can build you up. These are the ones who can speak life into you. These are the ones who can give you encouragement. These are the ones who can help you take the next step. And I know that may kind of be a little bit tougher for many of us, maybe even all of us in here, because it causes us to have to look at the friendships that we have for what they are, to confront, maybe this person isn't that good for me, right? Maybe the person who keeps lying to me, they're probably not my friend. The person who keeps using me for what I have, they're probably not a good friend to be connected to in terms of doing life with. No, you need to be connected to other people. And God created us to be in community because why? It reflects his nature. Like God himself is triune, Father, Son, Spirit. They are all in community with one another, guys. They're in fellowship with each other. Do you think God would expect nothing less when he ultimately makes us? Like, Jesus himself had community on earth. And if Jesus, the Son of God, needed community on earth, why do we think we're any different? Like, you need people in your life who are other Christ followers. You need people right now in your life who would say, you know what, ride or die, I'm in there. Like, you need these people in your life who want to see you become who God has called you to be. You need that type of community. The greatest way that we connect people to community in our church, here's the greatest way. You hear us talk about it all the time. It's through our small groups. You heard it in the announcements for those of us who were here. You hear it all the time in our church. It's all about small groups. Because this is where you connect with people. Like Sundays, guys, is not where you connect with people. That's not where you build relationships. That starts the process. Small groups is where you really begin to lock arms with people. Small groups is where you really begin to take off the mask and tell people and show people who you really are, because when that happens, that's where you get healing. And so if you're part of our church and if you're calling the Bridge Church at home, you got to get plugged into a small group. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to start a brand new semester in the beginning of June that'll last about 6 weeks. You need to get close to some people who want to see God's best for your lives. And we don't just make this stuff up. This is actually stuff that we see in Scripture. In Acts 2, 42 through 47, kind of chronicles the early church. And there's some powerful verses just in these few verses. Here's what it says. The believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Here's verse 44. All the believers were together. Everybody say together. And had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Do you see the trend here? They're together. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. So they went from temple courts, they went from like this corporate collective, kind of the equivalent of us being here on Sunday, and then they met in one another's homes. So our small groups, man, they meet in people's houses, they meet at Panera, they meet in these different places, they meet on a track, they go walk together, they do life together. That's what we see happening here in the early church. And one of the reasons why I think the church can sometimes be crippled is because we're just good at coming together on Sunday but having no relationship with one another past Sunday. Transformation doesn't happen on Sunday. It really begins to happen Monday through Saturday, where you're connected to people who can do life with you. Relationships, they grow deeper throughout every day life. Growth doesn't happen individually, it happens collectively. Here's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some are accustomed to, but let us encourage one another. Let's spur one another on to good deeds. Who do you have right now in your life who are spurring you on to good deeds? Who do you have right now in your life who are asking you questions like, hey, when was the last time you spent time with the Lord? Like, when was the last time you took a step of faith and did the very thing that God was calling you to do? Who are those people who are asking you those questions? Like, we got plenty of people who ask us questions like, you know, hey, how the kids doing? How's the job going? That's surface talk, guys. That's elevator talk. That's hallway talk. That's like, I'm passing you by talk. That's not really relationship talk. Relationship talk is like, hey, how's your marriage? Like, what's going on, man? Like, how you loving your wife? How you loving your husband? How you loving your kids? You about ready to kill them, slash their throats? What do you want to do? It's a real conversation. Like they're asking you these type of probing questions because they want God's best for you. Hey, how are you doing with that addiction? Hey, man, I want to see you experience freedom there. Those are real relationships. That's ride or die Christian community. Connecting with community is how God grows us as followers of Jesus. Matter of fact, my growth spiritually, you know where it happened? It didn't happen on Sundays. It happened by doing life with other believers. Matter of fact, two guys that you guys have had or seen come preach on a Sunday over the past year, one of them is Pastor Chris Johnson. He pastors in Harrisonburg, Virginia. He's one of our overseers for our church, Divine Unity Community Church. He and I talk like almost every day to this day. We got this app called Voxer because, you know, now that you're married, you got kids, you ain't got time to be talking to each other on the phone for hours like once could. So we just talk on Voxer for like 30 minutes straight and just go back and forth. He and I have been doing that for at least the past 11 years. And I can say without a doubt, had it not been for somebody like a Chris in my life to ask me those type of questions, or for me to ask him those type of questions, I wouldn't be here right now. It's other men like Pastor Sherrod Riddick. He's one of our other overseers. He was my youth pastor growing up. He's the one who challenges me. He's asking me, man, how's the church doing? What are you preaching? How the kids? Are you loving Ariel properly? Like, if not, okay, then we need to talk. Like seriously, like those type of questions, whether they're from mentors or whether they're from people that I'm doing life with, who do you have right now in your life who's doing that? And maybe you're like, man, I don't have anybody like that in my life right now. Well, you know what? You're in luck, because that's why we have small groups. You need to get plugged into some people, man. So the very thing I'm talking about every week about plugging into a small group, you may be sick and tired of it. Maybe it's because you haven't joined one yet. You need people in your life. Guys, if I'm a man, I need other godly men in my life who can check me. My best friend can't just necessarily be my wife because she's not going to ask me the tough man questions. I need men in my life who would be like, oh, so that's how you feel? You just felt like stepping out on your wife? You just wanted to go do this? You thought it was okay to look at that woman in that way? Right? Like they need to, we need guys who are going to like literally punch us in the stomach, gut check us. Like women, ladies, sisters, you need other godly women in your life who can help you see through some lies that the enemy oftentimes tries to speak to your life. You know, you need other godly women who will spur you on to good deeds, who can help to model to you what it means to be a woman of God. You need other people who will sharpen you. We need that. Even teenagers, even kids. This is why even in our kids' service, man, we have breakout groups for them on Sundays. Different ages, so that they can kind of have community amongst each other. This is what God calls us to do, man. Not to do life alone, but to be connected to people. Here's what I say in closing, and guys, band, you guys can come on up and just kind of help us close out service. A true friend is one who wants to connect you with the greatest friend, and that's Jesus. A true friend is the one who wants to connect you with the greatest friend, being Jesus. That's a true friend. That's a true friend. That's a true friend. Now, you may not agree with me. That's fine. That's what God says. So you take that up with the Lord. But he says, as I read earlier in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20, or 13, 20, that the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. So that means for some of us, man, today, you need to start asking God, God, who are these people that you placed in my life who want something for me, not from me? Who are these people right now in my life that you want me to get deeper with in terms of relationship? Who are the people right now in my life that you want me to draw close to so I can draw closer to you? Who are those people? Pray about those people. Think about those people. And as God begins to reveal those people to you, here's my challenge and my call to us today as believers, as people are part of the local church, go invest in those relationships. This is why it's important to be plugged into the local church. Like, it's cool to have saved friends and Christian friends outside of the local church who may go to another local church, but you need to be in relationship with people who are part of your local church. That's how God wired it, right? Like, believers who were in Ephesus, when Paul writes these letters to places and churches in places like Ephesus and Corinth, like, you know, these people weren't doing community with people in Philippi. Like, people in Ephesus weren't going to Philippi and hanging out with all of them necessarily. No, they were building community within their own area, within their own church. So, man, yeah, you got keep those believers, keep them friends that are believers, and they may be 3 hours away. My best friend is 3 hours away. But I know that, like, I can't lean on him, like, because he's 3 hours away. So I can lean on him, but I need people here locally that I can connect with, that I can just be open and honest with. Even as a pastor, that's why I make sure I'm in this small group and can be open and transparent with others. Like, we need that. And so my hope and call for us today is that you would take that next step, that you would be a part of community, that you would connect yourself to people who want to help you get closer to Jesus and who want to see you experience freedom in Christ. So just with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's what I'm going to ask us to do right now. I want you to survey the friends that you have right now in your life. And as I ask this question, somebody's going to pop in your mind. Maybe if nobody does pop in your mind, maybe that shows the great need that you have for relationships. But who right now is that person or those people that are helping you grow closer to Christ in your life? And who right now in your church do you have that you're in community with? What small group are you a part of? What relationships do you have? Because those are the people that God wants you to get close to. Guys, you and I are helpless on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. God never intended for us to do life alone. He intended for us to be in relationship with other people. So this morning, here's what I'm praying for you. That if you don't have friendships right now that are life-giving, that are Christ-centered, that are pointing you to Jesus, I'm praying that today God would open up your eyes to see the people that he's already placed around you. And if you don't see anybody around you, my prayer is that you would see the people who are here in this room, people who are part of this church, who are leading small groups, who are in small groups, so you can take the next step to become a part of that community. But today God is calling you to take the step, to commit to community, to connect with others. You need those right people in your life who are going to build you up and not tear you down. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you so much, God, for your love. You've demonstrated it to us by giving us Jesus. But God, you've also shown us your love by giving us Christ-centered people, godly relationships. And for the person here this morning who doesn't know you as Lord, I pray that today that they would surrender themselves, that they would give you their life. And for the person here today who maybe already knows you but doesn't have a relationship with other people, I pray that today that they would walk out of here with a conviction that they need to plug into community in a greater way. In Jesus' name, while every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning, you're saying, I need to give my life to Christ. I need to be in communion and relationship with Christ before anybody else. Like maybe the reason why you're here today is because somebody invited you, somebody led you here, and you've been going to church for some time, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And today, God is calling you. He says, hey, I want to invite you to be a part of my family. I desire nothing else more than being with you. So if that's your desire, that's your heart today, I'm just going to ask you to repeat these words after me. It's just a commitment prayer that we share and that we encourage others to say to help take their step of faith. So if this is you and you're ready to make a decision to follow Jesus today, say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose for me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for loving me, Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. I'm a new creature because you have made me new and you have given me your life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's put our hands together this morning. Come on. Amen. So as we prepare to go and just go out into this week, my hope and prayer for us today is that this message has stirred us up on the inside, that you would take the next step and connect with community, that you would build relationships with people right here in this local church, that you would join a small group. They're starting up in a few weeks, and we would love for you guys to be able to connect with that if you haven't already.